This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Southbridge, Charlton, Stourbridge, Brimfield, Dudley, and Wales. This program is sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Stourbridge and Brookfield, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Southbridge Evening News and the Charlton and Stourbridge Villagers. Today, we will be reading from the July 9th and July 10th editions. This is Dave Russell. We begin with this story, Drought Conditions Prompt Water Restrictions. The Massachusetts Drought Task Force issues a Level 2 significant drought status for Worcester County. The town of Southbridge now has to require that all Southbridge and Charlton water customers refrain from all outside water use except for handheld watering between the hours of 5 and 9 p.m. Please turn off all outside sprinkler systems. This declaration from the state also applies to homes with private wells. Certain water uses are not subject to restrictions, such as production of food and fiber, health and safety reasons, maintenance of livestock, and core functions of a business, for example, irrigation for a nursery. For the general public's information, currently the Southbridge Water Department's reservoir system is at 100.1% of total capacity. This is within our historical average for this time of year. The declaration is a countywide declaration and not due to any current water storage shortfalls within the Southbridge Water Department. This declaration is part of new laws and regulations put forth by the state legislature, and enforcement went into effect in April of 2025. To be clear, the Southbridge Water Department is not experiencing any water storage shortages currently. The declaration of Level 2 significant drought will remain in effect until the State Drought Task Force deems that the conditions within Worcester County have returned to acceptable levels. More information can be found at www.mass.gov/org/drought-management-task-force. Please feel free to contact the Southbridge Water Department at 508-764-3207 if you have any questions or concerns. Our next story, BayPath celebrates 59 CTI graduates, expands workforce training programs. BayPath Regional Vocational Technical High School in Charlton proudly celebrated the graduation of 59 students from its Career Technical Institute, or CTI, program. It marked a significant milestone in the program's continued growth and impact. The CTI program, launched in 2024, provides adult learners with access to high-quality, hands-on technical training designed to meet regional workforce demands. The graduates represent a diverse group of individuals who demonstrated dedication, perseverance, and a strong commitment to building new career pathways. Many balanced work, family, and personal responsibilities while completing rigorous 200-hour training programs as they prepared for immediate employment in high-demand industries. This graduating class represents the heart of what the CTI program is all about: opportunity, access, and workforce readiness, said Marcy Camisi, program coordinator. We are incredibly proud of these 59 graduates and the determination they demonstrated throughout the program. The success of the CTI program is made possible through continued state investment and workforce development partnerships. As part of the Commonwealth's commitment to economic recovery and growth, $24.2 million was awarded to 23 organizations throughout Massachusetts to train 2,490 individuals. These strategic investments, led by Massachusetts Workforce Skills Cabinet, are designed to expand access to career pathway programs and better position residents to fulfill critical workforce needs across the state. Building on this momentum, BayPath is expanding its program offerings to reach even more adult learners. Looking ahead to the fall of 2026, BayPath will offer 9 CTI programs, further increasing access to career training opportunities. These programs include building maintenance, HVAC, culinary, manufacturing, auto collision, auto technology, diesel mechanic, welding, and electrical. Since its inception, the CTI program has continued to expand in both enrollment and program diversity, attracting students from local communities as well as across the region. The program remains a critical component of BayPath's efforts to support workforce development and provide meaningful career pathways for adult learners. For more information about the CTI program or to apply for upcoming opportunities, please contact Marcy Comissi at mcomissi, that's M-K-O-M-I-S-S-I, at baypath.net. In a related story on workforce development, local students honored at annual Skills USA Workforce Development Event. A career and technical education student in Massachusetts was recognized with a certificate of accomplishment at the Skills USA National Leadership and Skills Conference held June 1st to 5th in Atlanta, Georgia. An all-time high of 7,000 students competed in the 2026 Skills USA Championships at NLSC, which is the largest gathering of the future skilled workforce. As an indicator of proficiency, SkillPoint certificates were awarded to Skills USA Championship competitors who met a predetermined threshold score for their respective competition. Students can add this certificate, an indicator of career readiness, to their employment portfolio. The following students from our area are SkillPoint certificate recipients. It's Team W, which consisted of Brett J. Belzer, Kennedy T. Balkunas, Aaron Lakovic, and Sarah H. O'Donnell. They're from BayPath Regional Vocational Technical High School in Charlton, and they were awarded SkillPoint certificates in entrepreneurship. To be invited to the Skills USA Championships, students first had to win their state-level competition, demonstrating their technical skills, workplace skills, and personal skills. The national competition featured state champions from middle school, high school, and college or post-secondary divisions across the country in 115 hands-on career and leadership competitions, including robotics, automotive technology, drafting, criminal justice, aviation maintenance, public speaking, and more. This showcase of career and technical education demonstrates Skills USA at its finest, said Skills USA Executive Director Shelley Travis. Our students, instructors, and industry partners work together to ensure that every student excels. The Skills USA Championships is the largest skill competition in the world and covers 1.79 million square feet, equivalent to 31 football fields or 41 acres. It's supported by leaders from 850 businesses, corporations, trade associations, and unions who have planned and evaluated the competitors against their industry standards. More than 2,000 industry judges and technical committee members also volunteered their time to ensure a successful event. Now we turn to scouting and some honors in that realm. Troop 163's Anna Burns earns Eagle Scout rank. Anna Burns of Sturbridge, a member of Scouting America Troop 163 of Sturbridge, has earned the rank of Eagle Scout. She passed her Board of Review on June 3rd. She's the 9th member of the troop to become an Eagle Scout. For her Eagle project, Burns led the construction and installation of a telescope pedestal and an informational sign with a planisphere at the Cedar Lake Recreational Area in Sturbridge. Burns is a page at the Joshua Hyde Public Library and wanted to combine her fascination with space and astronomy with her work at the library, which has a telescope that the public can borrow. Her project, named the Joyce E. Sinnott Stargazing Site, honors a longtime library trustee who passed away in 2024. The pedestal and sign will move to a permanent location at Hines Farm at a later date. Burns, who recently graduated from Tantasqua Regional High School, started in Cub Scouts in 2018 with PAC 161 of Sturbridge, and the following year became one of the founding members of Troop 163 for Girls. As a scout, she has participated in numerous campouts, hikes, and adventures of all kinds, including a trip last year to Sea Base in Florida, one of Scouting America's high adventure bases. She earned 34 merit badges, as well as the National Outdoor Achievement Award for camping, and served as a troop guide and senior patrol leader. She was inducted into the Order of the Arrow, or OA, Scouting America's Honor Society, and has served as the troop's OA representative, as well as a committee member of the OA admonition team, which aims to make the program more inclusive for all scouts. She will also serve as the youth contingent leader for the National Order of the Arrow Conference. At Tantasqua, Burns was on the swim team and was captain of the tennis team. She was vice president of SAVE, that's Students Against Violence Everywhere Promise Club, and the parliamentarian of the National Honor Society. She will attend UMass Amherst in the fall and plans to study astronomy and biochemistry with the goal of becoming an astronaut. Troop 163 is a Scouting America troop for girls ages 11 through 17. The troop is based in Sturbridge, but has members across southern Worcester County. To learn more about Scouting or Troop 163, email troop163sturbridge@gmail.com. And another local scout honored, local scout creates little free art gallery at Joshua Hyde Library. Sturbridge has a colorful new reason to stop by the Joshua Hyde Public Library. On Wednesday, June 24th, the community welcomed its first free little art gallery, a cheerful new addition where creativity can be shared, discovered, and celebrated. The gallery was researched, planned, and created by local Girl Scout Eileen Reed to earn the notable Girl Scout Gold Award. The Girl Scout Gold Award is the highest achievement in Girl Scouting and challenges scouts to identify a community need, create a sustainable solution, and make a lasting community impact. Eileen's project does just that by bringing free, accessible art to residents of all ages. The Little Free Art Gallery is located in front of the Joshua Hyde Public Library at 306 Main Street in Sturbridge. Similar to the beloved Little Free Libraries found in many neighborhoods, the Little Free Art Gallery invites visitors to take a piece of art that inspires them, leave behind their own creation, or donate arts and crafts supplies for others to enjoy. From drawings and paintings to handmade crafts, every contribution adds something special to the community treasure. Supported by the Friends of the Joshua Hyde Public Library, the project offers a simple but powerful message: art belongs to everyone. Congratulations to Reed for creating a joyful new way for neighbors to connect, share, and celebrate creativity in Sturbridge. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Our next story, Frisbee's Dairy Barn to celebrate National Ice Cream Day with 24 hours of scooping. In honor of National Ice Cream Day on Sunday, July 19th, Frisbee's Dairy Barn is taking on its biggest celebration yet, keeping all six locations open for 24 consecutive hours. The walk-up window at 195 Charlton Road in Sturbridge will hold its first-ever 24-hour celebration. From breakfast-inspired ice cream flavors, limited edition flavors, and surprises throughout the day, guests are invited to celebrate the sweetest holiday of the year anytime, morning, noon, or midnight. It's a celebration of everything we love about ice cream throughout the year. You may also see some seasonal favorites reappear for one day only. That according to co-owner Kendra Walker. You'll have to stop by to check out exactly what we have going on. What began as a fun tradition at Frisbee's original New Britain location in 2021 has grown into an annual celebration that customers look forward to each year. Now in its sixth year, the tradition has expanded alongside the company's growth, with all Frisbee's locations participating in the 24-hour event for the first time. We will open at midnight into Sunday morning and stay open until 11:59 p.m. We're attempting something that nobody has done before, operating all six of our locations for 24 straight hours, said owner Paul Parks III, who came up with the idea 6 years ago. It's a huge undertaking, but it's a celebration worthy of ice cream. National Ice Cream Day is our favorite holiday, and we can't think of a better way to celebrate with our communities. Other participating locations include New Britain, Windsor, East Lyme, and West Hartford in Connecticut, as well as North Attleboro, Massachusetts. For updates and event details, follow at Frisbee's Dairy Barn on Instagram. Now a story from the Joshua Hyde Public Library, 306 Main Street in Sturbridge, about some of their programs during the month of July. You can reach them at 508-347-2512 or their email, mayent@cwmars.org. There are summer baby story times. Join us for rhymes, songs, and lap bounces. It's Mondays at 10:45 a.m., the 20th and 27th of July, and the 3rd of August. Summer Toddler Time, where you can join us for stories, songs, rhymes, and a craft. Tuesdays at 10:45 a.m., and sessions will be on July 21st, 28th, and August 4th. And there are Frontline Fridays. Join us for stories and outdoor play. Fridays at 10:45 on the 24th and 31st of July. Registration is required for these children's programs. A story from Fiskdale, St. Anne, St. Patrick Parish and Shrine announces 193rd annual Novena to St. Anne. St. Anne, St. Patrick Parish and Shrine invites the public to the 139th annual Novena to St. Anne, taking place Saturday, July 18th through Sunday, July 26th. The Novena offers 9 days of prayer, worship, and fellowship, bringing together Catholics from many cultures and communities throughout New England. This year's theme is One in Christ, United in Mission, which reflects the diversity of the Church and the unity we share through our faith, said Father Salvatore Misante, pastor. As diverse as we might be, we share in the common mission of the Church, making missionary disciples, he added. Everyone is welcome to attend one day, several days, or the entire novena. For more than a century, pilgrims and visitors have gathered at St. Anne's Shrine to honor St. Anne, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary and grandmother of Jesus. The tradition of praying a novena dates back to the 9 days of prayer between Christ's ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Today, novenas continue to be a cherished Catholic devotion, offering an opportunity for prayer, thanksgiving, healing, and spiritual renewal. Each evening, the novena includes, at 5:30, Sacrament of Reconciliation in the St. Anne Church Sacristy, at 6:30 p.m., Rosary Procession beginning at the Generation Statue near the gift shop. At 7, Novena Mass in the Outdoor Pavilion. This year's guest celebrants and participating communities include, on Saturday, July 18th, Filipino community, represented by Reverend Alex Castro, A.A. On Sunday, July 19th, the Vietnamese community, Reverend Peter Tam Bui. On Monday, July 20th, Hispanic community and Reverend Hugo Cano. Tuesday, July 21st, Polish community with Reverend Richard Pollock. Wednesday, July 22nd, parish community with Reverend Dominic Mbizi, A.A. On Thursday, July 23rd, the African Community with Reverend Enoch Kayer-Mateng. Friday, July 24th, its Brazilian Community and Reverend Kleber de Paula. On Saturday, July 25th, the Cursillo Movement with Reverend Donald Willett. The Feast of Saints Anne and Joachim will be celebrated on Sunday, July 26th, with, at noontime, a healing mass with anointing of the sick, celebrated by Reverend Salvatore Musante, A.A., at 7 p.m., the closing liturgy featuring the parish choir, celebrated by Reverend Chi A. Nguyen, A.A., Provincial of the Assumptionists, North American Province. Saint Anne is known as the patron saint of mothers, grandmothers, women in labor, and those seeking to conceive. As the grandmother of Jesus, she's a beloved figure to whom many bring their prayers, hopes, and intentions. For additional information, directions, or a complete novena schedule, visit www.stannesaintpatrickparish.com. More events in our communities. Overlook launches free summer concert series in Charlton. Music lovers have many opportunities to enjoy live outdoor performances this summer as the Overlook hosts its annual summer concert series on Tuesday evenings throughout July and into August. The free concerts will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. on the outdoor commons at the Overlook, 88 Masonic Home Road in Charlton, offering a variety of musical styles from jazz and brass to classic rock and blues. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and enjoy an evening of live entertainment with family and friends. In the event of rain, performances will move indoors to the Performing Arts Center. Fans of classic rock can enjoy The Long Run, Songs of the Eagles, on July 21st, featuring many of the legendary band's best-known hits. The Salty Sister Project Acoustic Trio will perform July 28th, offering an evening of acoustic favorites and harmonies. The series continues into August with a reminiscence on August 4th, bringing audiences back to the golden era of 1950s and 1960s rock and roll. The final concert will be held August 11th when the Luster Kings perform a mix of blues, rhythm and blues, and rockabilly music. The summer concert series has become a popular seasonal tradition, offering residents and visitors an opportunity to gather outdoors and enjoy live music in a relaxed setting. Admission is free and open to the public. For more information, call 508-403-4987 or visit overlookmass.org/events. Also upcoming, Hitchcock's summer concert series rocks Brimfield Town Common on Wednesday evenings. The Hitchcock Summer Concert Series, sponsored by Country Bank, will take place on Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. through August 19th on the Brimfield Town Common. In case of rain, concerts will move to Thursday. A food truck will be on site at each event. Picnics are also welcome. Chairs and blankets are encouraged. The New England Digital Accordion Orchestra will be featured on July 22nd. Collected by Sam Falsetti, the nation's first digital accordion orchestra features about 20 musicians from across New England. Using state-of-the-art Roland digital accordions, the group replicates the sounds of various instruments like flutes, trumpets, and a rhythm section to showcase an impressive range of genres, including big band, Broadway, ethnic, country, and rock. BT's Smokehouse will return on this evening with the food truck. July 29th is all about polka, with the return of the Eddie Foreman Orchestra, also known as EFO, a Western Massachusetts polka band that has been performing before audiences since 1968. Eddie Foreman started the band while he was still in high school and has been creating and recreating music ever since, garnering one of the largest polka followings in the New England area. Off the Hook will be the evening's featured food truck. August 5th brings the Brimfield debut of The Willies, a popular community-focused classic rock and Americana band based out of Belchertown. The band performs across the Western Mass region, playing high-energy hits from the 1950s through the 1980s, modern country and rock standards. Flippin' the Bird Barbecue returns for this concert. Longtime series favorite Cobblestone Road of Connecticut returns on August 12th with High Energy Country. Well known throughout the region for playing modern and classic country hits from the 1990s to today, their energetic style mixes classic country with rock and blues. Smashing Patties will have their concert series debut on this evening. And the series closes out on August 19th with Hard Knocks, a Westfield, Massachusetts-based party rock and cover band known for their high-energy shows and forgotten classics set list. Instead of regular cover tunes, they play unique, underappreciated gems from the 70s and 80s, making them a fixture in the western Massachusetts and northern Connecticut music scenes. BT's Smokehouse will return to bookend this year's food truck lineup. In addition to presenting sponsor Country Bank, this program is supported in part by a grant from the Brimfield Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. For more information, visit www.hitchcockacademy.org. Hitchcock Academy is a community center located at 2 Brookfield Road in Brimfield, serving the community with educational, recreational, and cultural programming. Another event coming up this month, Gateway Players celebrates music of Jimmy Buffett. Gateway Players of Southbridge presents Jimmy Buffett's Escape to Margaritaville with a book by Greg Garcia and Mike O'Malley, music and lyrics by Jimmy Buffett. Performance dates are July 31st and August 1st at 7:30 p.m., August 2nd at 2 p.m. at the Southbridge Middle High School Auditorium, 132 Torrey Road in Southbridge. Directed by Patricia Haddock, produced by Kathy Grenier, music director Chris Rubenacker, and choreographer Harley Packard. Presented by permission through special arrangement with Concord Theatricals. Tickets are $20 for adults, $18 for seniors and youth under 18. Tickets may be reserved by calling Gateway at 508-764-4531. Online credit card ticket sales are also available. Please contact Gateway Theater for the link. The cast includes Andrew St. George, Sarah Tonkin, Jonathan Martin, Abby Simpson, Billy Bolster, Gwen O'Brien, Peter Amaral, Chris Lamb, Asher McCoy, Sean Davis, Hillary Robertson, David Yutzler, Ray Petrelli, Sherry Cooper, Mary Cordero, Emma Holtz, Tiffany Betty, and Lydia Wasnicki. On a small island in the Caribbean, vacation goers and the laid-back staff of the Margarita Bar flirt, unwind, and sip drinks under the sun. When an ambitious tourist named Rachel arrives with her friend Tammy for a much-needed vacation, she finds an unexpected romance with Tully, the island bartender and musician. As paradise collides with real life, both are faced with deciding what they want beyond the sandy beaches of Margaritaville. This tropical romantic comedy has plenty to laugh at and a sweet love story, all underscored by Jimmy Buffett's classic tunes, including Cheeseburger in Paradise, Margaritaville, It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, Finn's Volcano, and many more. With a book by Emmy Award winner Greg Garcia, who also wrote My Name is Earl and Raising Hope, and Emmy nominee Mike O'Malley, who wrote Survivor's Remorse and Shameless, this hilarious, heartwarming musical is the party you've been waiting for. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. During this hour, we're reading from the Southbridge Evening News as well as the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Now the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News, looking to the stars while serving the community. The rank of Eagle Scout has always represented more than completing a checklist of merit badges or leading a community project. It reflects years of perseverance, leadership, service, and a willingness to leave a place better than it was found. These qualities deserve recognition wherever they are found, and they are on full display in the accomplishments of Sturbridge's newest Eagle Scout, Anna Burns. Burns' Eagle Scout project is notable not simply because it created a new community resource, but because it reflects thoughtful creativity. Rather than choosing a project that would be completed and forgotten, she envisioned a place where curiosity could flourish for years to come. The Joyce E. Sinnott stargazing site connects residents with the night sky while honoring a woman whose dedication to the Joshua Hyde Public Library helped enrich the community. It's a fitting reminder that education and public service often go hand in hand. There is something especially meaningful about a project centered on astronomy. In an age dominated by phones, screens, and constant distractions, encouraging people to slow down, look up, and appreciate the universe above them is a gift in itself. The addition of a telescope pedestal and educational signage creates an opportunity for families, students, and amateur astronomers to learn together while enjoying one of nature's greatest displays. Burns' achievement also highlights how much scouting continues to offer young people. Leadership is not learned in a classroom alone. It develops through planning, problem-solving, teamwork, and overcoming challenges. Organizing an Eagle Scout project requires coordinating volunteers, managing budgets, working with community organizations, and following through until the final task is complete. Those are real-world skills that serve young adults long after the project is finished. Her accomplishments extend well beyond the Eagle rank. Participation in Scouting America's High Adventure Program, leadership within the Order of the Arrow, athletics, student organizations, and academic success all point to someone who has embraced every opportunity to grow and contribute. None of those achievements happen by accident. They are built over years through discipline, encouragement from mentors, and support from family, troop leaders, and the broader community. Perhaps most inspiring is Burns' ambition to study astronomy and biochemistry while pursuing her dream of becoming an astronaut. Whether or not that goal ultimately takes her into space, it reflects the value of encouraging young people to dream boldly. Communities benefit when they celebrate ambition rather than dismiss it as unrealistic. Every scientist, engineer, physician, or explorer begins as a curious student who wondered, "What if?" Her story also serves as a reminder of the importance of opportunities for young women in scouting. Troop 163 was founded only a few years ago, and Burns is already its 9th Eagle Scout. That remarkable accomplishment demonstrates the enthusiasm and dedication of its members and leaders. The expansion of scouting has allowed more young people to experience programs that develop confidence, leadership, and a lifelong commitment to service. Communities are strengthened not only by roads, buildings, and budgets, but by the character of the people who call them home. Every time a young person volunteers, leads a project, or dedicates themselves to helping others, the entire town benefits. The stars that inspired Anna Burns are unimaginably distant, yet through her service, leadership, and example, she's already made a lasting impact much closer to home. That is something worth celebrating. And that's the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News. We have a letter to the editor. The Sturbridge America 250 Committee thanks the various supporters and volunteers for their efforts to create and carry out a successful parade on Saturday, June 27th. The Sturbridge Police Department, especially Lieutenant Larry Bateman, worked hard behind the scenes to plan for the day, to work on the road closures and signage, and to provide safety during the event. Jen Neely and the Community Emergency Response Team also contributed to the parade's staging and safety. A number of local businesses supported the event. They included Sturbridge Coffee House, providing coffee and water, Cameron and Fairbanks for the donation of the boutonniere for Grand Marshal Bob Briere, and the corsage for special guest and oldest resident Virginia Jalbert. Old Sturbridge Village allowed us the use of their museum education facilities and private access road for staging the parade, and to place the bleachers on the property of the Reeder Family Lodges. The Massachusetts Psychiatric Services allowed us the use of their property for the staging at the end of the parade. And, of course, a big thank you to Bill Emmerich for his contribution as parade MC. His lively commentary and banter was enjoyed by all. This was a great community effort, and we truly appreciate everyone's contributions. Signed by the Sturbridge America 250 Committee, Susan Rabbit, Parade Coordinator, Derek Heidemann, Committee Chair, Amanda Galanik-Hallier, Sandy Gibson-Quigley, Megan Mooney, Hollis Turnbow, Mary Lou Volpe, Leslie Wong, and Richard Volpe in memoriam. Another letter to the editor, still seeking classmates for Bartlett Class of 76 reunion. Families and friends of Bartlett High School Class of 1976, this is our last-ditch effort to try and locate the last 14 of our lost and missing classmates. We have made wonderful strides and have contacted almost all of our graduating classmates, except for these last few names. We ask if you know where they are, new last names, addresses, phone or cell numbers, or emails, and can share with us, please send us an email, text, or message on Facebook, or have one of our classmates reach out directly to one of us. We want everyone to have the chance to attend their 50th class reunion in September. Thank you so much for any help you can provide. Missing classmates include Linda Barone, Brett Buxer, Robert Bennett, James Pizzetti, Marilyn Gagnon Kozelowitz, Alan Kozlowski, Cheryl Lowe, Donna Meager Logano, Deborah Morose Batterson, Timothy Richardson, Anne-Marie Skutak, Deborah Stefaniak Leno, Patricia Zakaria, and Richard Zalewski. You can respond to Patty O'Connell Batista, that's pattybatista123@gmail.com, or call Patty Batista at 508-965-9265, or Donna Schutz at dschutsre@gmail.com, or Kathleen Jewel Kelleher at kkelleher, that's kkelleher 251@gmail.com. Next, we look at some student news. The University of Rhode Island is pleased to announce that several area students have been named to the Spring 2026 President's List. Among them are Lydia Barbalo of Sturbridge, Erin Farrell of Sturbridge, Lizzie Maxfield of Brimfield, Makina Pentoni of Holland, and Vanessa Ricci of Brimfield. The University of Rhode Island has also named these students to its Spring 2026 Dean's List: Stella Boudet of Fiskdale, Libby Dodson of Sturbridge, Lindsay Ferreira of Sturbridge, Elsie Mazeka of Sturbridge, Bianca LaTulip of Charlton, and Luke May, Kyle Norberg, and Jeffrey Popsouche, all of Charlton. From Geneva, New York, Maura and Jeff Artis of Sturbridge are pleased to announce that their son, Jameson Artis, a 2022 graduate of Tantasqua Regional High School, has been awarded dual bachelor's degrees in education and environmental studies from Hobart College. From Plymouth, New Hampshire, Brayden Michelson of Charlton has been named to the Plymouth State University President's List for the spring 2026 semester. Michelson is majoring in History and Social Studies Ed at Plymouth State. From Albany, New York, the University of Albany has recognized Eben Mazeka of Sturbridge for selection to the spring 2026 Dean's List. From Oxford, Ohio, Jess Erstgard from Sturbridge was named to the Miami University Spring 2026 President's List. From Clemson, South Carolina, Hannah Marie Wright from Fiskdale, majoring in Biological Sciences, has made the Clemson University Dean's List for Spring 2026. And from Haverhill, Massachusetts, congratulations to Carissa Allard of Charlton on earning a spot on the Dean's List for the Spring 26 semester at Northern Essex Community College. Your hard work is paying off, and all of us at NECC are proud of your achievement. Now this photo story. The Black Tavern Historical Society of Dudley recently awarded its annual scholarship to Samantha Norberg of Charlton. Norberg, pictured in the center of this photo, plans to attend the University of Vermont, where she will study American history. To recognize her achievement, the Black Tavern Board of Directors invited Norberg to attend the Society's monthly board meeting. During that meeting, she had the opportunity to meet with board members and participate in a commemorative photograph celebrating her scholarship award. She was pictured with members of the society. The board congratulated Samantha on her academic accomplishments and extended its best wishes for continued success in her college studies and future endeavors. Next, we look back at some recent events. Paul Revere and friends bring revolutionary fun to Oak Haven Campground. After music and plenty of audience participation filled Oak Haven Campground in Wales on July 3rd, as families gathered to celebrate America's 250th birthday with a performance by Boston's national award-winning musical ventriloquist Kevin Driscoll, appearing as Paul Revere and friends. Campers of all ages quickly became part of the show, transforming the morning into an interactive celebration of American history, comedy, and music. Among the morning's biggest crowd-pleasers were adult campers David and Paula, who volunteered to become Driscoll's famous human dummies. Wearing Driscoll's male and female ventriloquist face masks, they joined Driscoll in performing his original song, No Bully Zone, inspired by the idea that British General Gage was a bully to the Boston colonists. Driscoll had the audience laughing when he assured everyone that David and Paula did not sing at the same time, joking, "We're not that good." The celebration took a heartfelt turn when one of Driscoll's puppet characters performed a brief rendition of Happy, Happy Birthday. The audience then joined together to sing the traditional Happy Birthday to young camper TJ, creating one of the morning's most memorable moments. Children eagerly volunteered throughout the performance, taking turns on the stage with tambourines, maracas, and drumsticks while helping provide the musical accompaniment. Many also discovered what it takes to become a ventriloquist by selecting a puppet from Driscoll's well-known big drum case. Each young volunteer stepped up to the microphone, learned to move the puppet's mouth, and proudly counted 1, 2, 3 using a brand new puppet voice. Their enthusiasm earned loud applause from family members and fellow campers alike. Adding to the revolutionary spirit, Driscoll reminded the audience that while there is no historical evidence that Paul Revere ever owned a talking dog, if he did, it probably would have looked and sounded like Doug the Talking Dog. Driscoll also thanked Oak Haven Campground staff members Becky, Dave, and Sue for their hospitality and for helping create a welcoming atmosphere for the holiday celebration. As communities across the country commemorate the nation's semi-quincentennial, the July 3rd performance at Oak Haven Campground offered a lighthearted reminder that history can be educational, interactive, and fun, especially when the audience becomes a part of the show. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Now a column that appears weekly in the Southbridge Evening News, Financial Focus, written by Trevor Nielsen. This week's topic, the hidden danger of investing too cautiously. One of the most significant risks investors face isn't losing money in a market dip. It's failing to reach their long-term financial goals. Many people focus heavily on short-term losses in the stock market and try to protect their savings by investing conservatively or avoiding stocks altogether. But that runs the risk that their savings won't grow enough to keep up with inflation or support future needs. Understanding what investment risk really means helps you make smarter financial decisions, considering these key aspects. First, risk tolerance describes your emotional comfort with risk. If you want to pull your money out of the market during a downturn, that reveals something about your tolerance. Many financial advisors use questionnaires to help clients understand how they might react in different market conditions. Second, risk capacity refers to how much risk you can afford to take. Your timeline matters. A 35-year-old saving for retirement has decades to ride out market swings. A retiree drawing income from their portfolio doesn't have that same cushion. Third, required risk describes how much risk you may need to take to reach your financial goals. Higher returns generally come with higher risk, though higher risk does not guarantee higher returns. If you need strong growth to retire comfortably, you may have to accept more short-term volatility. Sometimes these elements don't line up. You might be uncomfortable with risk, but need strong growth to meet your goals. Balance and diversification matter. Finding the right balance matters more than you might think. A small difference in your annual rate of return, from 5 to 7%, for instance, doesn't just add up a little. It multiplies. That's the power of compounding. Returns earning their own returns. It happens year after year, building on an ever-growing base. Over 30 or 35 years, that can become significant. You needn't choose between playing it so safe your money barely keeps up with inflation and taking on more risk than you're comfortable with. Instead, a balanced mix can fit your comfort level and still help your money grow over time. You also need to consider the age factor. You'll want to adjust your approach to risk as you get older. If retirement is years away, your portfolio may lean toward growth investments like stocks and stock mutual funds. You have time to absorb short-term losses and benefit from long-term gains. Lower-risk investments like bonds still play a role because they can help smooth out changes in your portfolio's value. As you near retirement, your portfolio may shift toward a more even mix of stocks and bonds to limit exposure to large market swings. The goal is to protect what you've built while still generating enough growth to fund a retirement that could last decades. Investing well isn't about eliminating risk. It's about taking the right amount of it. Too little risk can be just as damaging as too much. A financial advisor can help you find the balance that matches your comfort level, your financial situation, and your long-term goals. Investors should understand the risks involved with owning investments, including interest rate risk, credit risk, and market risk. The value of investments fluctuates, and investors can lose some or all of their principal. This article was written by Edward Jones for use by your local Edward Jones financial advisor. Please contact Trevor Nielsen, your local Edward Jones advisor in Sturbridge, at 508-347-1420 or email trevor.nielsen, that's TREVOR.NIELSEN, at edwardjones.com. Edward Jones is a member SIPC. Now we have an obituary from this week's Southbridge Evening News. After a long life and conspicuous lack of illness, Sumner D. Barr of Brimfield died at 102. Born in Worcester, he was predeceased by wife Dorothy, brother Wayne, and son Glenn. He had a tremendous will to live. The morning he died, he rose and sat at his kitchen table at his usual time. He lived in his home for over 75 years. His wish was to die there. He remained sharp-witted and well-groomed to the end. An inveterate, tireless worker, some held a variety of jobs over his lifetime. As a child, he candled eggs at his aunt's chicken farm. He learned farming, cooking, basic electrical and plumbing as a teen, and worked in various mills and factories in the area. After graduating from Hitchcock Academy, he bought and learned to operate a bulldozer. In 1944, after serving in the Army, he started a construction company with his brother Wayne. He graduated from embalming school in New York City, but did not pursue that career. He did, however, sell caskets, also worked as a government clerk, became a licensed electrician and electrical inspector, held positions as police chief, fire chief, and on the select board and highway department. A sergeant on the Wilbraham Police Force for 6 years, he concurrently attended American International College, earning his B.A. and M.A. in 1972. He became a science teacher at Tantasqua Junior High, cherishing that work and his students. He would often say, "I never called out sick, was never late, never left early. I gave detention regularly, stayed late. Was lunch monitor for all lunch periods every day for 14 years. I don't know if the kids liked me, but I liked them. I was firm but fair." Sumner was a local historian, being a rare remaining resident of East Brimfield Village, which now lies under the reservoir. He and brother Wayne moved, rebuilt, and restored many exhibits at OSV, notably the blacksmith shop and covered bridge. They also did extensive work at the New England exhibit at the Smithsonian. Some enjoyed motorcycles, cars, and long drives around New England, seeking ice cream and seafood. He listened to music daily. Aptly, Natalie Cole's "Unforgettable" was his favorite song. He was a 32nd degree Mason of the Day Spring Lodge. He leaves his loving daughter, granddaughter, many nieces, nephews, and beloved friends. He would appreciate donations to the Shriners Children's Hospital or Audubon. Now another column featured in the Southbridge Evening News, Lanterns Along Main Street, written by Charles. This week's topic is The Bench Nobody Reserved. Every town seems to have one. It's not famous. It doesn't appear on postcards. There's no plaque explaining its historical significance. It's simply a bench. Maybe it's outside the library. Maybe it's on the town common, beside the post office, or tucked beneath a maple tree near the bandstand. People walk by it every day without giving it much thought. Yet that bench has probably heard more stories than anyone in town. I found myself sitting on one recently while I waited for an appointment that was running behind. It wasn't a particularly comfortable bench. One armrest was loose, the paint had faded, and the seat tilted just enough to remind you that it had been through a few New England winters. Still, people kept coming and going. An older gentleman stopped to rest after his morning walk. A mother tied her son's sneaker before they continued toward the playground. Two friends chatted for 10 minutes before heading in opposite directions. A teenager sat long enough to finish an ice cream cone before pedaling away. None of them stayed very long. That's the beauty of a town bench. It's a place where nobody feels obligated to linger, but nobody feels rushed to leave. We don't seem to have many places like that anymore. Coffee shops often expect you to buy something. Restaurants need your table eventually. Even parks seem busier than they once were, filled with organized games and scheduled events. A simple bench asks nothing of you. You can sit quietly. You can wave to people you know. You can watch the clouds build over the hills or count how many dogs pass by before lunch. For a few minutes, you become part of the rhythm of the town instead of racing through it. I think that's something we've lost without realizing it. We're very good at getting somewhere. We're not nearly as good at simply being somewhere. Years ago, people naturally found themselves lingering in public spaces. They visited on front porches, gathered around the town common, or leaned against pickup trucks outside the feed store. Conversations weren't planned. They simply unfolded because people happened to cross paths. Today, our schedules are tighter and our attention is divided. Even while sitting on that old bench, I noticed several people scrolling through their phones instead of looking around. I understand the temptation. I do it myself. But every now and then, it's worth putting the phone away and seeing what's happening right in front of you. You might notice the child determined to jump over every sidewalk crack, the couple debating where to have lunch, the robin tugging an earthworm from the grass with surprising determination. Ordinary moments don't make headlines, but they're often the ones we remember. Eventually, my appointment was ready and I stood up to leave. As I walked away, someone else took my place without missing a beat. The bench didn't care who sat there. It simply waited for the next conversation, the next quiet moment, the next person who needed a place to rest for a little while. Every town should have a bench like that, and every now and then, we ought to take the time to sit on it. Just before we finish, I'd like to remind you there are several ways you can listen to Audio Journal. You can listen live, streaming it from our website, www.audiojournal.org. If you have a smart speaker, an Amazon device, say, Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. If yours is a Google device, say, Hey Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. The Audio Journal is also carried by several local cable TV stations. Go to www.audiojournal.org/listening-with-cable-TV to find the listing for your town. And, of course, a special receiver tuned to Audio Journal's frequency is supplied at no cost to our listeners. If you need one, call us at 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org. Remember, we're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. I'm Dave Russell, and I thank you for being a listener of Audio Journal.
Once again, Audio Journal listeners, this is Bill Ruggiero giving you the latest weather forecast for Wednesday, July 15th, 2026. Here's my latest forecast. For today, we'll have hazy, warm, and humid with scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Some of the storms that do develop this afternoon will contain strong gusty winds, frequent lightning, heavy downpours. Highs today near 96 degrees. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms early, otherwise becoming mostly cloudy skies, humid. Lows will be in the lower 70s. And the outlook for Thursday is calling for mostly sunny skies with less humidity. Highs on Thursday in the upper 80s. Thursday night, mostly clear skies. Lows will be in the lower 60s. And the outlook for Friday is calling for mostly sunny skies. Highs Friday in the lower 80s. Looks like we're going to have some showers and thunderstorms this weekend. Not a washout. And folks, that is your latest weather forecast for today. This is Wednesday, July 15th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody. And please stay tuned for more programming back at our Patricia A. Fletcher Studios in Worcester, Massachusetts. Take it easy, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Would you like to hear news from Clinton, Lancaster, Boylston, and West Boylston that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune into Audio Journal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.